Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final listen to the scriptures for this church year. On the final Sunday, a few days before the national holiday of Thanksgiving, 1 week before the beginning of Advent, we are directed to the final moments of Jesus' life in Luke 23. A question for you as you stood and listened to the gospel: was it hard to hear? Was it wonderful news? Or were you ambivalent? Ambivalence is a problem, especially because we've heard it all before. And every day, we listen to so much stuff. Ever stop and think about that? News that has no end and no beginning. Impeach this. Leading candidate for that. Economy up. Economy down. NFL this. College football that. Sale over here. Black Friday deals over there. Rain and travel warning today. Snow forecast tomorrow. And the day with a little CSI, Dateline, Unsolved Mysteries, or YouTube rabbit holes. With so much stuff to listen to, TVs that never need turning off, podcasts that never run out, who needs to listen to a dying Jesus from the cross? Ambivalence means we don't really care. We filter out what is neutral to our significance meter. Mental health professionals might even call it compassion fatigue. We are all prone to failure to empathize with another person's plight. Taken to an extreme, one might pass by a dying man on the side of the road and say, you know, I really just don't have time to stop and help. I've got to get to the new food city because the deals are going fast. Ambivalence can lead to selfishness and other vices. Enter God's word for today. Jesus' dying words from the cross. It is as though God were reminding us of our eternal needs, not our selfish, immediate ones. We may be ambivalent about the past, but what about your future? And you do know, do you not, that the past, as presently presented, is key to your future? So, Jesus, the dying Jew 2,000 years ago, has something to say to a dying world stuck in the present, in the midst of selfish ambivalence. If we pay attention to the words, we may find it's hard to hear. Not the volume, but the content. Though, if you read the text carefully, you note that when the day that Christ was crucified, the multitude of people were anything but silent. Some of the Jews were mourning and lamenting for Jesus, as it says in our text. Jesus, too, was anything but silent. The suffering Savior spoke tender words with warnings. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed. Mountains, please, fall on us. Hills, cover us. People will see the coming destruction and say, we were better off dead. Or worse, better off unborn. Yep, these words are hard to hear. It's not the common mischaracterization of Jesus, believe in me and everything gets better and you can live your best life now. If anything, it's believe in me, for times are going to get tough, and you need God. You need me. You need an anchor. You need a Savior. This is the most righteous man on earth, and here he is, tied down to a tree. Hard to hear because he is not surrounded by people he loves as he dies in a comfortable bed at a ripe old age, having lived a full and varied life with no hard feelings. On the contrary, two hardened criminals are the closest people to Jesus on crosses of their own. Jesus would appear to be just another criminal. One railed at him while soldiers mocked him and offered him sour wine, and of course, the saying King of the Jews, though they didn't mean it. It was about then that things went from hard to hear to wonderful to behold. You ever thought about the crucifixion of Jesus as something wonderful? No, his friends didn't swoop in to save him. But one of those criminals repented. Before it was too late, a criminal destined for death was moved by Jesus' innocence, and his heart was changed from dead to God to alive by faith. Listen again to his confession and rebuke of the other criminal. Do you not fear God, since you are under the sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. What we hear there, fear of God, sorrow for sin, belief in Jesus' innocence, and hope that by confessing all these things out loud before the world and before Jesus, there is hope. Then the man wonderfully addressed Jesus, even calling out his name. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Notice Jesus didn't say in reply, we'll see. You've been a bad boy this Christmas, this whole year. I don't know. There's no Christmas presents for you now. We'll wait a while. We'll see how you do. Maybe 400 years in purgatory, then I might see you on the other side. When, we'll see. No. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Jesus' words are wonderful news for this criminal, for prostitutes, for adulterers, for tax evaders, for thieves and liars, for murderers, for divorcees, for anyone who has done any wrong, for me, for you. Repent and believe the wonderful news of Jesus. The wonderful words that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago on the cross become presently yours without a doubt. For later he said, it is finished, it is done, I fulfilled it. By my cross and open tomb, by my death and resurrection, by my power to forgive sins. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. And he said the most wonderful words to people condemned to death by sin and selfish ambivalence. Truly I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.